Hello everyone, I'm Young Jin Yu from Seoul National University in Korea, and this is the joint work with Tejin Infotech Korea. I'm going to present our paper, Exploiting Peak Device Throughput from Random Access Workload. The topic is about optimizing storage stack for low latency storage devices, and it is reported that without proper optimization to storage stack, an application cannot fully benefit from fast storage devices. So many researchers and engineers are seeking for hardware software optimizations to exploit high throughput from the devices. And if you have a chance to redesign existing I/O interfaces of a storage device, and what is your first move? In this paper, we propose a new request merging scheme called Temporal Merge, which is based on an extended I/O interface that dispatches discontinuous block request in a single I/O operation. And I/O demand is very high and sharply increasing these days. Internet-scale service providers such as Facebook or Amazon have their own optimized storage stacks to deal with the high I/O demand. Even a desktop user often complains about long application launching time or slow icon showing up when he double-clicks something. Especially, storage system has suffered from small random I/O accesses due to a hardware limitation, such as mechanical moving parts of a disk. The random throughput of a disk is less than 1 MB/s. And fortunately, fast storage devices are coming as data access mechanism changes from magnetics to electronics. Because the reason storage devices have memory chips as storage medium and do not have any moving parts, the response time of them is now cut down to the order of microseconds, which is a very good feature for enhancing random I/O performance. And we have flash SSD and DRAM SSD in market and PCM SSD in academia by UCSD. And of course, there is no free performance launch, even if we have a fast storage devices, which is well announced by the existing works like Monita paper. Application throughput is usually lower than device throughput. As storage stack is sitting between an application and a storage device, any slow execution in the storage stack significantly degrades the I/O performance. This is why many researchers and engineers try to attack the existing storage stack that is too optimized for a disk. So, many papers, such as High Performance SSD under Linux by University of Minnesota, Monita Onyx by UCSD, and When Poly is Better Than Interrupt by Intel, suggest the use of synchronous I/O path. Synchronous I/O path means that there is no context switch while an I/O request is submitted, dispatched, and completed, eliminating a few microseconds of software delay. To achieve that, we should use POL instead of interrupt to communicate with devices and bypass I/O scheduler or soft I/O handler for pre or post processing. We will call this I/O subsystem as SyncPOL for further explanation. One day, we were given a DRAM SSD by Tejin Infotech, a storage vendor in Korea, and decided to try the SyncPOL optimization for this device. The response time of this DRAM SSD is 7 microseconds in reading, writing a 4 KB page, and the peak device throughput is 700 MB/s. It has DDR2 64 GB capacity and PCI Express interface. And this is an example of SyncPOL I/O subsystem. Each of the 4 threads is submitting a block request, mapping memory segment into DMA region, and polling on the completion of the request, or mapping the DMA region and finalizing it. In this I/O subsystem, each thread does not experience any context switch, and the device always serves one block request at a time. And here's an evaluation of I/O zone running 32 processes with SyncPOL I/O subsystem. And the x-axis is the access patterns of request, sequential read, sequential write, random read, and random write. And dashed line at y-axis is the throughput reported by IOZone. And the dashed line at 700 megabytes per second is the peak device throughput, and blue bars are for I/O subsystem that uses I/O scheduler and soft I/O handler and communicates with devices via interrupt. And red bars are for sync-pole I/O subsystem. And we have two interesting observations in this graph. The first is the decrease of sequential write throughput of sync-pole. It is because synchronous I/O path invalidates the use of request merge in I/O scheduler. Consequently, the contiguous 4 kilobyte write requests are dispatched to the underlying device one by one. As a consequence, its throughput converges to the random read-write throughput. And the second observation is the performance wall of small random read-write workload. This performance number, about 300 megabytes per second, is converted to 75,000 IOPS, or 13 microseconds per a page access. 7 microseconds of the 13 microseconds is the hardware response time, and the rest, 6 microseconds, is software overhead. If we squeeze the storage stack more aggressively, then we may save 1 or 2 microseconds, but still, this is not sufficient to exploit the peak device throughput under this random access workload. From the previous result, we can conclude that large data transfer is still important, even if you have an ideal storage device that has a response time proportional to a request size, because per request software latency now becomes intolerable anymore. Now, then, our concern is about how to make a larger request. The two most common optimizations are read ahead under sequential read pattern and request merge under sequential write pattern. As can be seen in the sequential read throughput in the previous graph, read ahead is still effective on sync-pole. But request merge cannot be used on sync-pole because it contradicts to synchronous I/O path design. Sync-pole cannot accumulate I/O requests within its path. And what is worse, if requests are arriving with random block addresses, OS operating system has no way to make a larger request from them, even when asynchronous I/O path is used. So, we have decided to change our strategy from minimizing per request latency to mitigating per request latency by batching multiple requests into one to achieve high throughput from the device. And how can we achieve the peak device throughput even from random access workload? This is our performance goal. So, our solution is very simple. It is called a temporal merge, which is named against spatial merge in Linux I/O scheduler that only focuses on spatial adjacency between requests. Temporal merge combines multiple requests within a short time window, even if they are non-sequential, and dispatches the merged request by using a new I/O interface. And here's the new I/O interface. These two figures illustrate the difference between the existing I/O interface and the new I/O interface. Each figure has two lines. The above is memory address space, and below is storage address space. In Linux, a block request called BIO contains the mapping between the two domains. And assume that we have 8 requests, that is BIOS, initially. Spatial merge coalesces the first 5 contiguous requests into one, and fails to merge the rest 3, finally dispatching 4 I/O requests in total to the underlying storage device. On the other hand, given a storage device that is able to accept the multiple discontinuous requests in one I/O request, operating system can combine as many block requests as a device can support into one and dispatch it. This interface is proven to be very useful in our evaluation. The existing I/O interface is too restrictive for SSDs that already have chip-level parallelism and bus-level parallelism. And now is the time to design a new I/O subsystem that utilizes the extended I/O interface. And here is the example that each of the 4 threads submits a block request to this I/O subsystem. Among the concurrent threads that have arrived at this layer, we can choose only one by using an atomic operation. Only one thread becomes a winner, and the others become losers. In this case, the thread on CPU 2 became a winner. the winner gathers the concurrent block requests from losers and combines them into one and dispatches it by using the new I/O interface. On the contrary, the losers yield CPU resource after giving their request to the winner and sleep until the completion of their request. We call this as synchronous temporal merge, since the I/O path of a winner that actually dispatches a temporally merged request does not contain context switch due to sleep and wake up. The advantage of this I/O subsystem with synchronous temporal merge is the balance of synchronous I/O path and request merge. Since STM is able to merge block requests without plugging/unplugging mechanism, it incurs little software delay. Also, it is mostly successful in building a large request under multi-threaded work loss, which leads to high throughput. The weak point of this approach is that the merge count of a request, which is the higher the better, is limited by concurrency. Concurrency is defined to be the maximum number of threads entering into I/O subsystem. Due to delayed write semantics in Linux and other OSs, the concurrency under write work loss is usually lower than the number of user threads that issued write requests. Under the write workload with a small number of threads, the concurrency is usually the number of write back threads, one or two. But under highly loaded write workload with many threads, fortunately, the concurrency becomes higher than the number of write-back threads, since user processes themselves participate in synchronous write I/O path instead of delayed write. Anyway, to handle this matter, that is to decouple the achieved throughput. To decouple the achieved throughput from the concurrency, we decided to utilize I/O scheduler again, but this time with the extended I/O interface. It is obvious that there should be a trade-off relationship between the advantage of large data transfer and the disadvantage of the increased latency due to the use of I/O scheduler. And what would the result be? And this I/O subsystem is called asynchronous temporal merge I/O subsystem, ATM. Four threads are submitting block requests, and the total number of block requests in a request queue in I/O scheduler can be more than the concurrency due to the asynchronous I/O path design. You can see that the thread on CPU1 piles up two block requests in a request queue and is put to sleep. I/O requests in a request queue start to be dispatched by an unplug event, which is triggered by a separate corner thread called CableD, or a user process that detects the congestion inside the request queue. Upon this event, the thread fetches all the block requests in the queue, combines them, and dispatches the merged request to the device by using the extended I/O interface. After completion of the request, the post-processing of each block request is performed on the original CPU that submitted the request by using software IRQ handler, which is called cache-friendly request retirement, as previously introduced by MSST 2010 paper by University of Minnesota. The advantage of this approach is clear. It is very easy to accumulate block requests even when the concurrency is low due to the asynchronous I/O path design. But we have a weak point also, which is related to the specific feature of OS used in this paper. The existing I/O schedulers in Linux is not designed to accumulate read requests. If a device is idle, a newly arriving read request is first enqueued into a request queue, but immediately dequeued to be dispatched by an explicit unplugged invocation. During the unplug event, a spin lock called QLock is held, which prevents other newly arriving requests from entering into a request queue. This serializes the dispatch of requests in a request queue. To solve this problem, we should use double buffering strategy, which will be done in our future work. And here's our evaluation environment. The host machine has 8 cores and 16 GB RAM, and only 2 GB RAM is used by ballooning technique. The tested I/O subsystems are asynchronous I/O path with interrupt, synchronous I/O path with pole, that is sync pole, and STM with pole and ATM with pole. We used I/O zone and postmark with ext3 file system. And this is a storage stack, a typical storage stack in Linux. The baseline I/O subsystem is asynchronous interrupt. It customizes the lower level of SCSI subsystem to translate a SCSI command into a device-specific physical command. It relies on I/O scheduler to merge block requests and interrupt notification to start post-processing of a completed request. The second I/O subsystem, which is called SyncPole, bypasses I/O scheduler and SCSI subsystem and eliminates any context switch in I/O path. And synchronous temporal merge also bypasses the two layers and makes a winner dispatch multiple discontinuous requests by using the extended I/O interface. And asynchronous temporal merge registers itself to the dispatch function of the I/O scheduler and drains as many block requests as possible for performing temporal merge on them. Now we are back to the I/O zone evaluation with the two new I/O subsystems, STM and ATM. The configuration is the same to the previous initial evaluation. And in the case of sequential read, STM synchronous temporal merge achieves the peak device throughput, both of synchronous I/O path and batching multiple read ahead requests contribute to this performance improvement. In the case of sequential write workload, ATM shows the best performance. This proves the benefit of large data transfer, cancels out the disadvantage of increased software overhead. And in the case of random read, STM achieves 88% of the peak device throughput, while ATM only achieves 43% of the peak device throughput due to the merge failure of read recast. ATM performs no better than SyncPole under this workload. In the case of random write, STM and ATM achieve 92% and 96% of the peak device throughput respectively. And this table is a summary of the achieved I/O zone throughput relative to the peak device throughput. For a read-only workload, STM outperforms ATM and the opposite for write-only workload. This gives us a hint to design a hybrid I/O subsystem that makes use of both temporal merge schemes, which is one of our ongoing work, and we have some preliminary results about that, though not shown in this presentation. And the next experiment is about postmark. The x-axis indicates the type of I/O subsystem, and y-axis is the sum of read-write throughput reported at the end of a postmark run. The result is a little frustrating since the best throughput achieved by temporal merge is only 34% of the peak device throughput, which is the case of ATM pole. We can think of the following two reasons. The first is that postmark is outdated, that it cannot give enough stress to the storage system, which is well explained in the paper, A 9-Year Study of File System and Storage Benchmark by Stony Brook University. As recommended in a few other papers, we have run multiple instances of postmark concurrently, which is still insufficient to give high pressure to our storage system having low latency storage devices. The second is that many of the postmark transactions require metadata update, which is not translated to application throughput. For example, when postmark creates or deletes the file, the corresponding metadata, such as inode, inode bitmap, data bitmap, directory block, and the inode of the directory block, should be written also. These additional traffic would contend with user data traffic, which accounts for the low postmark throughput. In spite of all these things, we have a meaningful observation about different performance characteristics of different I/O subsystems. When we normalize each performance metric to the baseline where asynchronous I/O path and interrupt is used, we can observe that synchronous I/O path improves the throughput by 27% approximately. ATM achieves 74% of improvement, while STM hardly benefits from its optimization, which is due to the characteristics of postmark workload that has about 8 times more write requests than the read ones in our configuration. So here's the conclusion. Temporal merge enables I/O subsystem to dispatch discontinuous block requests by using a new I/O interface and helps to achieve near peak device throughput from random access workload. And our future works are like this. The results of microbenchmarks such as iZone or FIO are very promising, but it is still necessary to evaluate our schemes in real-world benchmarks such as TPCC, and we are searching for some representative work loss. And future NVM-based SSD would be controlled by an intermediate hardware controller called NVM host controller interface, which is similar concept to advanced host controller interface that controls SATA 2 devices. To exploit the peak device throughput from fast storage devices, the I/O interface should be carefully designed. Once fixed, it would be hardly changed over time. So we suggest the use of the extended I/O interface that dispatches multiple non-contiguous block requests in a single I/O operation. And the next thing is reliability issue. Partial updates among multiple writes in a temporal merge batch due to crash failure may lead to irrecoverable corruption to the file system state. So an atomic update interface should be added to guarantee all or nothing semantics. The scope of our work is optimizing storage stack for a single storage device in a single machine. Extending this scope to multiple devices, multiple machines will be our future works. And applications themselves should be aware of fast storage devices and optimize for the devices. And this is the last slide of this presentation, a note from Tejin Infotech in Korea. DDR3-based SSD is soon to launch. The use of DDR3 enables the SSD to double the peak device throughput to 1.4 gigabytes per second. If any of you have interest in this device, you may either contact us or directly mail to Dr. Shin, one of the authors of this paper. And thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the talk. We have time for a few questions. So there's a microphone over there. You can line up and ask a question. Go ahead.
Vasily Tarasov, Stony Brook University. Very nice work. So whenever you start merging requests, the question of fairness and now prioritization between the processes merges. For example, CFQ scheduler currently does not allow to merge requests, I mean spatial merging, right, of the different processes. So have you looked at this problem? Do you provide fairness? Can you provide a prioritization? Do you plan to work on that in the future?
So you're saying that the fairness problem with this request merging scheme? Right?
Yeah, intuitively it seems that doing temporal merging causes more problems with fairness and I/O prioritization between processes when compared to the spatial merging.
Actually, in terms of fairness, I can say that temporal merge can be better than spatial merge because it doesn't reorder the request. You know, so every request entering into I/O subsystem is serviced first in first out order. So.
But if, for example, one process has higher priority than the other, and you don't want to merge it like in one batch.
Okay, I understand. But that is not considered in this request merging scheme. But very good suggestion.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Next question.
So I have two questions. The first one is kind of related to what the first question was. So in the Linux kernel, the default I/O scheduler that you can use is CFQ, right? Is that the one that you used for this study?
No. Actually, for the ATM design, we have to customize I/O scheduler because CFQ unplugs so prematurely. That is, it does not when the scheduler tries not to accumulate many requests in the queue to guarantee fairness. So we have to use noob scheduler and configure some parameters like unplug threshold and unplug timer to accumulate any many block requests in the queue.
Yeah. I think that's a very good thing to do because CFQ is very complicated in a way.
Yeah, right.
And if you're just doing merging, no-op is the right thing to do. Yeah. So my second question is, so you're talking about the overhead of doing each I/O, and there is another idea out there that is bypassing the whole kernel and using I/O to the device directly, and that reduces the overhead of each individual I/O a whole lot. And it's, I think NVM HCI standard also kind of points toward that effect. So I think this is something that you might want to consider in your future work.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I have a question. When selecting a winner in STM, it has to be done, you said, it has to be done in atomic fashion.
Yes.
How do you implement that?
Actually, we have used the kernel API to do that, such as test and set, yeah. So
is the overhead acceptable?
Yes, sure. It is wave-free, so it doesn't use a log to set to do operation without a log. So it is the overhead is acceptable, I think. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the talk.